it's fairly there's only five characters in the chapter. There's a little Israelite slave girl, Naaman, Elisha, the king of Israel, and Gehazi. So we only have to keep track of five people in this in this particular story, and there are no tricky parts as far as their identities and things. So anyhow, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Kings chapter 5, and we'll begin reading it at verse 1. 2 Kings 5, 1. Now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. And we'll soon see how much Naaman's boss valued him. It said there that he was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. His master valued him quite a bit. At the end of the verse there, he was also a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. So all these great things that he had and great things that he wore, but he was a leper. Now, in that time, being a leper was a death sentence. We don't hear much about leprosy these days, but Brother George Wesley is kind of our leper guy. I remember years ago he gave several messages on leprosy, so if I say something incorrect on that regard, please feel free to step in. But so anyhow, we have this Naaman here who has a really, really huge problem. You know, he's a great commander, a great leader, but he has leprosy. Verse 2, and the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. So the second character is introduced here, this Israel slave girl. You know, she'd been taken from her land, taken by the Syrians, and back, and now she's a servant in the home of Naaman, to Naaman's wife. Now, you might suspect that under those circumstances, she would be bitter, possibly, not the best testimony in the house, but look at verse 3, it's amazing. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. Wow, this is quite a statement this young slave girl makes, that there's the prophet who is in Samaria would be able to heal him of his leprosy. And I don't believe we have many instances in the scriptures of leprosy actually being healed. But here's this girl who has all the faith in the Lord that her prophet of Samaria would be able to heal Naaman of his leprosy. So quite a claim of faith that she makes, that that the leprosy can be healed. This is good news to Naaman, as we read in verse 4. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. So the king of Syria, so here's our third our third character, the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. So the boss hears of this possible cure for Naaman, his commander, and he sends a letter to the king of Israel, and he also sends a rather sizable gift along. And with the help from my Ryrie Bible here, it said 10 talents of silver, that's 300 or 30,000 shekels, about 1,500 ounces. So he sends about 1,500 ounces of silver, and 6,000 shekels of gold is about 3,000 ounces. Now, Haley, what did gold close at on Friday? You're a little, it's been dropping. It's the number I saw, 1389, so it's down a little bit. But anyhow, gold, in today's prices, gold is at about 1390 or so an ounce. Silver's pretty cheap, relatively speaking. It's $22 an ounce. So anyhow, if you do the multiplication, the value of the gold that he sent in today's dollars would be about $4.2 million worth of gold. The silver is about $331,000. So if you add those together, it's about $4.5 million is what the Syrian king was sending to the or the Syrians were sending to the Israel king as a ransom, whatever you want to call it, as a price for this healing. You know, it's $4.5 million. It just kind of boggles the mind at the size of the gift that that was sent along. You can see that this gift plays problems later, also, or causes problems later in the story too. Now, verse 6, and I guess go back to verse 5 for a second, and the 10 changes of clothing, and that was part of the manner in which the leprosy was to be dealt with. There was a change of clothing also involved in that. So now we get into verse 6. Then he brought the letter, this would be Naaman, then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, that you may heal him of his leprosy." So, imagine how the king of Joram, or I guess the other, never identified, Jehoram or Joram, depending on which translation you have. So he receives this letter, and Naaman delivers it to him, and the king of Israel is expecting this guy to be healed. Now, there's very little evidence that leprosy has ever been healed, but you know, here's this letter. And you can see the consternation that the king of Israel has in verse 7. "And it happened when the king of Israel read the letter that he tore his clothes and said, 'Am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of his leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me.'" So the king is rightly concerned. You know, he's worried that here's this guy he sent, wants him cured of leprosy. If I send him back still a leper, there's going to be trouble. And so I think the king there suspects some kind of a trap. You know, he sent all this money, expects this guy to be cured of leprosy, and if this doesn't happen, then you know there's going to be trouble. There's going to be, he seeks a quarrel with me. So that's the way it's expressed here. So we have a situation there developing, which looks pretty serious. Now, in verse 8, enter the prophet Elisha. Verse 8, "So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, 'Why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel.' Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha." So you can picture this a little bit. Here comes Naaman in his grand chariot. He's probably got the best chariot in the whole entire Syrian army. He's probably got an entourage of men with him. So they roll up in front of Elisha's house. Whatever that is, it's probably not a spectacular, probably a little hut someplace out wherever Elisha is living. So anyhow, you picture the scene here. You have Naaman, this great warrior, you know, shows up at Elisha's doorstep. Verse 10, "And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, 'Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean.' So as Naaman shows up, Elisha sends a man out with these instructions to go wash in the Jordan seven times. Naaman's reaction in verse 11, "But Naaman became furious and went away and said, 'Indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over this place and heal the leprosy.'" So Naaman had this all figured out in his mind that when he showed up, here was what was going to happen. You know, Elisha was going to come out and pronounce the leprosy gone. So what a different thing happened when Naaman showed up. Nobody came out except the servant. Elisha still stayed inside. The servant came out, gave him the instructions. And then he goes on, Naaman goes on in verse 12, "Are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage." So not only, you know, is this insulting that he sends his servant out with these instructions to wash in the Jordan, he's got better water at home. You know, the Jordan's just a kind of this, you know, dirty little tributary or whatever, and, you know, he's got these great rivers at home, and the leprosy could have been healed there. So Naaman is having none of this. He turned and went away in a rage. So here's a man. He's got clearly two problems with him. Pride is probably bigger than his disease, but both of them could be fatal if he doesn't do something about both of them. So verse 13, and one of his servants is pretty brave guy that comes up with this in verse 13. "And his servants came near and spoke to him and said, 'My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says to you, wash and be clean?'" So he's, you know, so what, you know, if he asked you to do something great, you'd have probably done it, you know. But here's something simple he's asking you to do. Why don't you go ahead and do it? And kind of surprisingly, in verse 14, "So he," that would have been Naaman, "he went down and dipped seven times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean." So he did what Elisha asked him to do, and he was healed. Verse 15, "Then he returned to the man of God, he and all his aides, and came and stood before him. And he said, 'Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant.'" So you see here, you know, this gift, so to speak, that Naaman has received. He's been healed of his leprosy. And I believe we can infer that what he says there is, "Indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel." So he's acknowledging that God was actually the one who was responsible for this miraculous healing. But I guess in the way things were viewed, particularly at that time, you know, there should be some payment for this. Grace is not what Naaman is thinking about. He's thinking there should be some payment for that. In verse 16, "But he said, as the Lord," this would be Elisha, "but he said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive nothing. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. So Naaman said, then if not, please let your servant be given 2 mule loads of earth, for your servant will no longer offer either burnt offerings or sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord." So I think this is another indication that Naaman has been converted, that he now has faith in God. He's not going to sacrifice to other gods, but to the Lord. Then gets into a little bit of a problem here in verse 18, and I'll read this, yet in this thing may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the temple of Rimmon to worship there, and he leans on my hand, and I bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this thing. Then he said to him, go in peace. So he departed from him a short distance. So Naaman realizes he's going to have a problem later on. He's going back to the Syrians, and he goes in with his Syrian master when he goes in to worship the gods. And Naaman's a little bit, or he's concerned. You know, he's made now a vow to worship only the Lord God of Israel, but now this official duty he's got might interfere with it. It's not clear that Elisha is giving him complete license, I guess, to do this, but he does say, then he said to him, go in peace. So it's not 100% clear what Elisha's response is there. All right, so we've covered most of the chapter. Then we'll get to the final part here with Gehazi. But before we move into that, do any brothers have any thoughts or comments on anything we've covered thus far? Brother George?
Just the section that you just covered, he's displaying a consciousness towards God that he wouldn't have had before. The Lord, his true repentance, he's realizing the implications of him worshiping the Lord only and realizing where his cleansing came from.
Okay. Yeah. I think, as we've said several times there, there's great indications that Naaman, came to call upon the Lord as his God, and he has this concern now. All right. Thank you, Brother George. Are there any other thoughts? All right. Then let's continue with the last part of the chapter here, beginning in verse 20. And Gehazi is the last character that's introduced here, and we saw him last week. He's a servant of Elisha, and we'll begin reading in verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian while not receiving from his hand what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him. So here's Gehazi. He sees this $4.5 million just riding off into the sunset. You know, it's more than he can do to let that sum of money get away from him. So he's going to do something. Verse 21, so Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he got down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains of Ephraim. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments. So Gehazi concocts this story. He said, I was sent here by Elisha. Two guys have just shown up, and they need some of this stuff you have. So he asked. He's not completely greedy. He doesn't ask for the whole $4.5 million. He asked for, a certain portion of it and some of the clothing. But again, it's all a ruse and a lie. Verse 23, so Naaman said, please take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags and two changes of garments and handed them to two of his servants, and they carried them on ahead of him. So Gehazi, in the end, is happy to take what Naaman has given, and Naaman has given him even more than the Gehazi had asked for. But, the really serious thing here is Naaman is now going away thinking, well, maybe this did cost me something. You know, so Gehazi is truly clouding and messing up the picture of grace that we saw earlier, you know, that the leprosy was healed and Elisha did not want to receive anything for that, but Gehazi has now clouded the picture of grace. Let's see, verse 24, when he came to the citadel, he took them from their hand and stored them away in the house. Then he let the men go, and they departed. So he's taken this this offering from Naaman. Verse 25, now he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said to him, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Well, Elisha suspects that something is up. Maybe God has revealed to him exactly what is up. And Gehazi, he lies once again, but this time he lies to Elijah that he didn't go anywhere. Verse 26, then he said to him, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money and to receive clothing, olive groves and vineyards, sheep and oxen, male and female servants? So clearly, Elisha knows what's up, that Gehazi has, you know, sought to receive these things from Naaman. Now, verse 27, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and your descendants forever. And he went out from his presence, leprous, as white as snow. So the leprosy that had come with Naaman, that it was cured, was given, transferred to Gehazi because of his sin. And again, his big sin here is he's clouded the picture of grace. You know, the curing of the leprosy by Elisha was clearly an act of grace. But now Gehazi has tied money and a tribute to it. So it's a grievous sin that Gehazi has committed, and he pays grievously for his sin. He now has this leprosy that will eventually take his life. So that's all of chapter 5 today that we're going to cover. Do any brothers have any additional comments as we finish up here, Brother George? Yeah, thank you. Excellent point there. It's the gospel being brought to the Gentiles. You know, why was this Gentile saved from this dreaded disease? Because he believed. He believed that the cure came from God. So one of the early Gentile converts we see here in this story. Okay, are there any other thoughts? Okay, well, I guess that's, and you know, if you read the Sunday school or looked at the Sunday school Manuel. This story is referenced several times in the New Testament, and Brother George has brought one of them up. And certainly an encouraging story. We see the faith. First of all, we saw the faith of the young Israeli slave girl. You know, not only was her testimony not damaged, you know, she had great faith in God that he would heal the leprosy of Naaman, and God rewarded her faith. Again, we talked about there are not many instances where we see leprosy healed, but God rewarded her faith by healing. And we see, you know, just the grace that was shown to Naaman, and how through grace he accepted God as his God. And then we see in the end just the marring of this message of grace, and how serious a matter that is for Gehazi. You know, this guy who was the servant of Elisha, had been with him for some period of time, you know, accepted this money and marred the picture of grace, and ended up paying for it with his life. So again, a very kind of straightforward story with a lot of different implications in it. So that's all we will cover today. All right, thank you.